Born in the grip of oppression, I fought for my liberty. I paid with the blood of my people. Freedom has never been free. Now my door's always open to dreamers and friends. But when I'm attacked, I protect and defend. Because my name is America, I stand proud and free.
Hello, everyone, and I hope that everybody had a fabulous turkey. I heard the other day from one of the Biden people that turkey was so expensive, so don't serve turkey, serve Italian. What country are they living in? Unbelievable. Well, they never stop and they will never stop. And unfortunately, that's the role of communists. They don't stop anything at any time. They continue only and must show that they are right. They will never apologize and they will continue down the same path, whether or not it works, because in reality, they don't care. And they are happier if the plans do not work, primarily because if they don't work, then they can to come back and ask for more money and more money and more money. But the saddest thing that happens from that is the people that have been affected by those plans. And often they are the most vulnerable. And I mean our children. And I am extremely concerned after reading an article that said America's children are at least 2 years behind the rest of the world. And that is because of their lousy, rotten, uneducational education. Not an education that anybody could be proud of. Actually, it's quite sad. You're listening to Karen Schoen. This is the Prism of America's Education. Obviously, my favorite topic is education. And today I have a real treat for everyone. I have asked my two BFFs if they would join me today, because we are going to be talking about us, the regular Americans, the American people. What can we do as individuals to cause attention to what is going on in the country and in our schools? So today we have Bev Kilmer, and Bev is the president of Freedom Speaks. Please go look it up online. Join Freedom Speaks. Very important, because freedom is speaking for our children. And we have Debbie Gonneau, who has been a friend for a very long time, a patriot, a fighter. Debbie was in the Air Force. Maybe that's where she learned to do all of that wonderful fighting. But Debbie is not afraid, and she's not afraid to go to school boards. And that's what we have to do, folks. We have to be prepared, and we have to be the ones that are going to say, no, not anymore. You have to have attention as to what's going on, and not teaching our children to read, to me, is one of the most horrific things that we can do to our children. Welcome, Bev. Welcome, Debbie. Thank you so much for joining. Bev, let's hear from you. What is Freedom Speaks up to these days?
One of the things that we're doing is addressing exactly what you're talking about. We've got the CRT, we've got the sexual indoctrination, we've got the pull against parents, we've got everything happening in our classrooms except educating the students. And as you know, Freedom Speaks is battling that with every last breath we've got. And we have addressed all of the Florida laws, all of the constitutional laws, all of the federal codes that are being violated. We need our sheriffs in every county to enforce the law. And just recently, I was thinking about all of the other players that should be helping us with the enforcement. And I thought about Leon County, where I used to live for like 30, 40 years. And they would not allow strip clubs or the girl dancing or any of those kind of things in Leon County. I mean, the sheriff put up a battle and he drew the line and he said, this is war in my county. You're not bringing that in. And that's protecting adults. So why are we not getting the same enforcement to protect our children? And that also goes back to when I mentioned the counties, why are the county commissioners not being held? The sheriff signs an oath, and that oath declares that they will not allow pornography in their county. And by federal law, they have to confiscate any porn that they find that is being given or accessible to the children. They have a responsibility. It's in their code. And so I am working with our entire group across the state and within other states to start addressing that with the county commissioners too. The county commissioners and the sheriff need to be in a meeting where we bring this to them and say, you have a responsibility to confiscate all of these books out of the libraries. You have a responsibility to confiscate all of this material from the classroom, from kindergarten up. That's a short answer. I'll elaborate more as we go through or if you've got questions. But that's the short of what we're doing. Plus, we are addressing the school boards by having a statewide search for good, qualified parents, business people who will run for the school board and flip a minimum. This is a minimum of 10 counties across the state of Florida. So if there's anybody listening to this, I want them to help search out, or maybe someone who's listening is the perfect candidate to run for the school board in their county. And if they are, have them contact us, Kara and me, or you, or possibly even Debbie, and make sure that we get them on our list of candidates that we are helping and we're supporting in many ways to get them across the finish line. However, those candidates must be willing to stand the line of protecting the children, educating the children, no porn, no obscenity, no critical race theory, nothing that is a distraction to their academic learning. Does that make sense?
That makes a lot of sense. And thank you very much, Bev, because running for school board, these are elections that most people forget about. They'll go and they'll vote for governor and they'll vote for a president and they may vote for their county commissioners. But when it comes to judges and the school boards and the supervisor of elections and maybe even your county sheriff and your superintendent of schools, people don't really pay attention. And they have a bad tendency of saying if they're a Democrat, well, I'll just vote all Democrat. And if they're a Republican, I'll just vote all Republican. They don't listen to the candidates. They don't listen to what they're saying, and they don't ask the right questions. We have a bad habit of choosing our candidates by how they look and how they sound rather than their actions and what they are actually saying compared to what they are doing. And we have to be aware of that. It's very important. A school board is a very important thing. And Debbie Gonneau has had a tremendous amount of action with her school board. And Debbie, I'd like you to share some of what you have been doing in your school board, because folks, take your clues from what Debbie has done. We need to get in front of our school boards. And for those of you who are unsure of what pornography is, as Beb has described, if you will go to my wonderful sponsor, Florida Citizens Alliance, their website, and you can go to GoFLCA, that is FloridaCitizensAlliance.com, and go to the section, first of all, before you even go to any place, sign up, put your email address in, and start getting the valuable information, especially on legislation that Florida is sending out. Copy it and use it in your state. Go to the section that says legislative. In that section, you will find the pornography report. Go to your school and see if those books are in your school. And if you find them in your schools, take those excerpts and read them to your school board. What would you think about doing something like that, Debbie? Ha ha. Debbie has done this, and that's why I said that.
It's being done. I work with another wonderful mom. She's an actual mom involved in the county with the school boards. She and I met back in April when I was asked to present the critical race theory that was in the proposed curriculum program that they were going to be voting on that night. And so I went to the school board, had three examples out of many, but that's what I was provided for that night, presented them to the school board. And then the school board proceeded, one of the members proceeded to say, well, you know, she hadn't reviewed the curriculum material, the program material. So she wasn't aware of, you know, anything being in there. When I opened up my comments to them, I told them that back when Common Core first was introduced, I was out there. I even ran for school board on an anti-Common Core platform. But I warned the school district against Common Core, told them, do not accept it, reject the money. You know, the parents here in the county would be happy to make up the difference to make sure their kids were being educated instead of deliberately dumbed down. I reminded them that, you know, I brought that to them years ago. And then we have here in Santa Rosa County in 2019, and this is also found on the Florida Citizens Alliance website. You can go in and find out what your county school's grades were back then. But from a U.S. News and World Report, my county was only 65% proficient in reading, only 48% proficient in math, and only 13% were college ready. That was an index. It's not a percentage, but a 13 on an index being college ready. So I told them, I warned them, here are the results. So now I'm warning you about critical race theory. And I will tell you that the results will be even worse with the critical race theory. But the school board member who said she hadn't reviewed the material, tried to get it tabled. Robert's Rules of Order went crazy. They ended up not tabling it. They ended up voting on it. And she was one of four who voted in the positive to accept that program.
Let me get this straight. She accepted a program that she had not reviewed. Is that
exactly
correct?
That's exactly 100% correct. There was one member on the school board, bless his heart, he's the only man on the school board, and he voted against it. And he is still against it, but he's outnumbered by the other four, plus our superintendent of schools, who goes around and insists that they do not teach critical race theory. But we have multiple examples, and I do continue to go to the school board meetings and present the examples of not only critical race theory, but I also present the social emotional learning that's been going on since even before Common Core. We just didn't know it. It's been going on for decades, and how it is detrimental to the education of our children. It is the conduit for critical race theory. It is the reason why our children have to have safe spaces, because they are not taught to think logically, reasonably. They're not taught to come out with a conclusion from a series of theories and investigation. They are taught, or I should say not taught, they are indoctrinated into thinking only emotionally. So I have gone to the school board meetings. They don't like me being there. I had a break back in August and September due to being sick. And when I came back, I said, "Hi, I'm back," much to your chagrin. But I continue to put it out there. And because I continue to put it out there, I was also removed by two sheriff deputies in April from a school board meeting.
What did you do to get removed?
Well, I was disruptive. And there is a state law that we have to work on getting repealed, because that state law says that the school boards can weaponize the sheriff department or the police department or, you know, their law enforcement, because they hire the sheriff deputies to come in and police their school board meetings. So we have a state law. It is 877.13, educational institutions or school boards and penalty for disruption. It was deemed that I was disrupting the meeting.
I was just going to say, you are the disruptor.
I was the disruptor, but it doesn't have a definition as to what disruption is. In my case, they use this law, this statute against me, because I attempted to complete my thoughts in my comments beyond the 3-minute timeline.
So your disruption was because you spoke longer than the 3-minute allotted timeline?
Exactly. And I was asked to leave. I asked the sheriff deputy why, and he said because the school board had deemed that I needed to be escorted off of the premise. Now, I could have been charged with, according to this state statute, a misdemeanor of the second degree. I was not. I'm sure I would have been had I refused to leave, but that's exactly what happened. I had about maybe 30 seconds more to complete my thought, to complete my comments, but they gaveled the chairman of the school board, gaveled the meeting in recess. They escaped behind the curtain. They completely vacated the table where they were sitting, left the view of the people that were there. And oh, by the way, there were only about 5 people signed up to speak that evening in the public forum. So
they are really afraid.
Have easily given me. Yes, they're definitely afraid. But here's the deal. There is case law that I, if I really wanted to, could go back and sue them. Because what they did was a form of intimidation, and that is completely against the First Amendment. And there is case law that nullifies the state statute, which is why we need to get that state statute repealed. Because the state statute says that I have not only the right to speak, but also the right to be free from retaliation by a public official for the exercise of that right.
That is an excellent, excellent law. And okay, so what we have to do then is make sure that our local communities can, a state law supersedes a county law. So that's number one.
And well, this is a state statute. The state statute is 877.13. That's a Florida state statute from 2021.
What we have to do is make sure that our school boards are adhering to that. And that's where the problem lies. Now, Debbie ran for school board. Bev was a state representative. So both of them have been involved in the political side of education. Debbie, you ran for office. What were you up against when you ran for office?
Money.
That's what I thought.
The person, I self-funded. I didn't have any fundraisers. I didn't have any means to get any other, campaign funds other than the people that contributed to my campaign. The person that, and the other thing was the dilution. There were four of us that were running for school board at the time.
Okay, so money is the issue. Bev, when you ran for office, what did you find? Were you up against the same issue that Debbie was facing? Because you were basically, as you say all the time, a very unknown candidate as well, unknown character. But you were an unknown entity as well. So how did you manage to get elected?
Well, the Republican Party did not get behind me at all until the very end. And the Republican Party did not get behind me at all in the beginning. At the end, they did. But the district was 23% Republican, had never elected a Republican. A woman had never even run. It was nine counties. It ended up being 10 or 11. But it was nine counties when I ran, and they were all across the panhandle, which was extremely Democratic at that time. They were somewhat conservative, but they weren't conservative enough to want to vote for a Republican. So I literally did a business plan, since I had no political experience whatsoever. None. I didn't even know the hierarchy, to be honest. Shame on me. But I worked on a business plan, and I did it just like I did my businesses. And I implemented it, and then I followed it, because the one thing I remember, and by the way, I used to be a hairdresser, but the one thing that was planted in my head by our instructor is plan your work and work your plan. And she said that every day. So it was totally ingrained in me in just about everything I did. And so once I got my business plan put together and everything, I stuck to it. And I went out every morning before sun up or shortly thereafter. And I was at the little coffee shops and whatever. I went everywhere and knocked on doors. I went to beauty shops because they could relate to me and I know how the beauty industry works. However, I will say I was kind of blessed in a way with my candidate, because he put his foot in his mouth so often. It really helped my case a lot when they saw us on stage together talking about the issues or whatever. And so he totally discounted me. In fact, he told someone, "I'm not worried about her. She's a woman and a hairdresser." He totally disregarded my credibility or the fact that anybody in his district would vote for an outside woman. And so, in fact, he coined me Beauty Shop Bev. So he always talked about, "Oh, that Beauty Shop Bev." Yeah. And so I knocked on doors. I had no money in the beginning because people were scared to death of him. And in fact, this is kind of funny, whether I should say it here or not, but I will. I had so many people, especially in Jackson County, that were giving me money, but they wanted it to be in somebody else's name, or they wanted it to be cash. So we had to keep up with the cash limits that they were allowed to give me. And then I'd go back and they'd give me more cash or whatever. They just didn't want it to be tracked. And sometimes I would get a call saying, "I want you to meet so-and-so. I think he's going to support you and all as well. But we have to do it after hours when the his employees are gone." And in fact, that was J.D. Swearingen. And so I had to meet him at his tractor place. And he had a couple of people there he wanted to meet. And he told them he was going to be supporting me. And the funny thing is, he was head of the Democratic Party and had been for years. I don't know if he was at that particular time, but he was. But he said, we need you, Bev. And so he was willing to go out on a limb, but he wanted the limb to be hidden behind shrubbery or something. And so when I got home, I told my husband, I said, we've been married a really, really long time. I've never even thought about cheating on you or anything like that. But I said, coming home today, I felt like I am somebody's mistress because I have to meet them after hours and I have to make sure nobody can see us and they'll run back and tell Jamie. You know, it was just that kind of a feeling. But I did what I had to do and I got the message across that I'm a hard worker and I'm going to put them first. And I can honestly say I came out on the short end of that stick financially. I was in for three terms and then I chose to get out and run for Congress and I did not succeed in that. But I put over 150,000 miles on my car and I wore out three cars during the time I was in office because it's over 200 miles from one end of the district to the other. And I literally worked the district.
That is the key to success, is working the district, getting out and meeting people. We have to have those conversations with others, and local is what is so important. And I want to thank both Debbie and Bev and hope you'll stay with me for the next session. But I want to thank you both. Folks, we are regular people. Just we are all the same. And the thing to remember is that when you elect these people, they're nothing special. They are just the same as you. Yesterday, they were plain old mom, dad, worker, whatever they did. And just because they are now beauty shop Bev.
I thought I was muted.
Just because yesterday they were regular people and today they might have been elected to something doesn't give them any special privilege. They are still the same people and we have to be in contact with them. And don't go away, folks. We will be right back. You're listening to Karen Schoen. This is the Prism of America's Education, brought to you on the America Out Loud Network with my wonderful sponsor, the Florida Citizens Alliance. Don't go away. We will be right back.
I'm excited to talk about a new product from Healthy Cell, AC11. This is a patented bioactive extract of Uncaria tomentosa from the Amazon rainforest. It supports cell DNA repair and health span. It's a dietary supplement. I'm excited to try it. Many are interested in longevity and attenuation of senescence. We know that telomere length and other biologic measures are related to senescence in clinical and preclinical studies, particularly of animal models. And I can tell you as a doctor, dietary supplements do hold the promise of attenuating repair and damage in our body due to stress, physical wear and tear, sunlight, etc. And there's a tremendous opportunity for supplements to help us in this area. And so Healthy Cell has brought a product to market for you to try as part of your health portfolio. So please go to healthycell.com and in the promotional code, list out loud for 20% off your first purchase of products from Healthy Cell. Let's get real. Let's get loud on America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Because of COVID-19, many Americans worry about their health four times a day. That's 112 times per month. But by simply keeping our immune system strong, we can stay healthy and put our worries at ease. One little known way to do this is by taking AC11, a patented supplement from a plant in the Amazon rainforest. Studied for over 20 years and backed by over 40 scientific peer-reviewed studies, taking AC11 has been proven to extend the life of immune cells called leukocytes, allowing you to boost immunity naturally. Go to healthycell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of AC11. That's HealthyCell.com, HEALTHYCELL, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Welcome back, everyone. Thank you for hanging with me. This is Karen Schoen. You're listening to the Prism of America's Education, and we are brought to you live on the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network and with my wonderful sponsor of the Florida Citizens Alliance. Please go to the Alliance, sign, get involved, and take the information that you see that is there from Florida and use it in your state. That's what America is all about. The whole idea of America was that there would be 50 different groups of people, 50 different states, each one having a little bit different. And then you, as an American, get to travel anywhere to any one of those states at your choice. That is the American way. Unfortunately, we are not getting that anymore because one size shoe fits all education, and one size shoe fits for your choices are what is becoming the norm. And this is absolutely nothing new. Debbie and I, when we first started doing this many, many years ago, I would say it was about 10 years ago, we made an amazing discovery, was that the idea that Americans should be taught to become global citizens and denounce their American heritage is nothing new. This has been going on for a long, long time. And it started way back, I would say, in the 60s. In the 60s, we were training the teachers into globalism. And I can tell you that firsthand because I was one of those teachers. And I used to be quite upset because we were spending more time on world history than on American history. So I spent the more time on American history, which didn't go over well with my principal, but that was too bad. He used to come in my room all the time and say, "Miss Schoen, this is not in our curricula." And I used to say, "I know, but this is in their life. And if they don't know this, then how can they make appropriate decisions?" And then he would walk out. So we had that going on, and that was going on in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. It came into full swing at a meeting of the Governors Association, of which Bill Clinton was the president of the Governors Association, and George Bush, 41. And that's important to understand. He was the president of the United States at that time.
Yeah, he's evil.
He is definitely evil. And at this meeting, they had a speaker, and her name was Shirley McCune, and she was from the McReel Foundation, of which they studied education. And as they were studying education, Shirley came up with this amazing forward-looking approach to education. She said, "Children will no longer be taught about individualism. We will turn everything over to the collective." How many times have you heard, "For the good of, oh, for the common good, for the good of everyone, we must do this, we must sacrifice"? That's where this came from. She also said that training will replace education. And there is a big difference between being trained to do something and to being educated to do it. In training, you are doing something rote. You're memorized. It's done. It's over. You just do one thing right after the other, one after the other. No deviation, no input, individual input. Training is not education. Education teaches you how to think, how to command an action from what you have learned. And education is what we strive for, teaching our children how to think, how to reason, how to come up with a logical conclusion, how to understand common sense. And as we can see today, we have a sure lacking of that. And also she said that American history will be replaced by world history, and that facts will no longer be important because value will rule the day. And as Debbie said before, that is your SEL training, where value is more important than facts, and social emotional learning is based on whose value. And I give that one a question mark. So, Debbie, do you remember way back when we were learning about the IB program?
Absolutely. And I learned about it through you and another friend.
Diane, I didn't think anything about it. Yeah, Diane Kepis. Yes, we studied IB when we were learning about Agenda 21 and trying to figure out how could the people undo this without realizing, you know, where it was coming from and what was going on. And then we came across this program called IB, which was the International Baccalaureate Program. First word, international, sponsored by the United Nations. And Debbie, I know that when you were doing your, when you were going around with school board, I know that you were talking about these programs. Let us not forget No Child Left Behind and that disaster.
Right. And then you also had School to Work and Goals 2000 and, you know, all the predecessors to what we have today, which is exactly, you know, the proof that this has been going on for decades. You know, my eyes were opened extensively when we had the weekend with Charlotte Iserby.
Oh, yes.
And I learned more in that 48 hours than I think I had learned in a decade or more. Charlotte is a wealth of information, and her books are amazing. There's a quote from one of her books. I don't have it in my hand. I could run and grab it real quick, but basically what the quote is about how the schools are not for education. They're for breaking down the children and forming them into compliant workforce widgets. And that's when all of the, you know, giving the kids Ritalin and giving, you know, drugging the kids at school and keeping them from, you know, quote unquote, acting out when they really weren't. But, you know, the IB was, it's a means to an end. And we all know what the end goal is. The end goal is complete control over our children, because they know that it's through the children that they control the adults. They control the masses. They indoctrinate them to think and become compliant, unquestioning adults. And thus we have what we have today with the so-called vaccines, the shots, you know, the compliance to stay off the beaches, the compliance to wear a mask, the compliance. And so they have seen just how well their system has worked to indoctrinate people to believe that it's all for the greater good. And thus it is a good thing. And I have a video of our sheriff here in Santa Rosa County actually saying that rights will be infringed, but sometimes you just have to do what you have to do for the greater good.
Folks, there is no such thing as the greater good. And that has been proven over and over and over again. Just think how many billions of dollars we, the people, have given to the United Nations to eradicate poverty. And yet they still come with their hand out and they're asking for the same thing over and over again. The greater good is really successful when the individual is successful. That's the whole purpose of America, making the individual strong and those strong individuals working together. And I believe that one of the things that COVID has taught us is that they are deeply afraid of the individual working together. They don't want any conversations. They don't want us to talk to each other. They don't want us to empathize, to think of, to be with people who are, quote, out of our particular group. And that's why it makes them easy for them to segregate us. And I think that if they followed this plan, then we would be right back to where we were being segregated in the 1950s. Because think about what they are doing and saying, and all they are doing and saying are designed to separate us. But I don't think that's working. I think people are coming together. And Bev, you have been working with Moms for Liberty. What do you think? Are people coming together? How are you getting that feeling?
People are definitely coming together, and moms are outraged. They're outraged all across the country, and probably I would have to say the globe, because this isn't just a United States issue. It is happening all across the world, and it's because it's coming from the UN, and the UN is pushing it out from 1,000 different directions and trying to make it look and sound so good. But the bottom line is it's all about destruction of the family unit. The critical race theory is designed to totally separate all of the kids so that they don't trust each other. It's to build to tear down the trust, because young children trust everybody. Children are born trusting and loving. There is no discrimination. They don't think of things like that. Little kids in kindergarten, first, second, and third grade, just they hug each other, they love each other, and they come that way. It's the adults that tear it down. It doesn't have to be built in them. They come that way. But the UN, that's why they started this pre-K years ago, and everybody across the world bought into it, to where they can put the kids in school at 3 or 4 years old. Let's get them away from mama so we've got control over them. We can actually build their brains to not be trusting. And it just totally is designed to break down the family units and break down our country and move towards Marxism, where they have control over all of us. It's been in the works now for, like you said, 50, 60 years minimum. And it's reached the point where it's actually working, because we have had so many years of the same kind of leadership in DC. I mean, we had past Reagan. Reagan was a good man. He wanted our nation to be strong and vital, and he was a great president. But after Reagan and up to Trump, we had no one that cared about our nation, cared about educating our children. And it really, I've got to say this, because, you know, the time that I was in the legislature, I served with Jeb Bush as our governor, and education was his big thing. And education is where I was placed. That was my entire 6 years in office. I was either chairing or vice chair of the education committees. And looking back, I can see clear as day, the Bushes, from Daddy Bush on, they made education their main issue, because that gave them what they wanted in helping the Marxism and the communism and everything come in place. And I'm not going to go into it here, but there's a reason they pushed all of the things they pushed. But we had Daddy Bush, 41 Bush. Then we had Clinton. Then we had George W. Then we had Obama. And they expected us then to have another Clinton. They had everything laid out to give them that many years of control, and they would have been able to totally destroy our children and our nation if they had had that one more 8 years of control.
Oh,
thank
I couldn't agree.
Our loving God, that did not happen. And I'm going to go out on a limb here, and Karen, you're going to have to forgive me for doing this. We need Trump back in office. We need people to wake up and understand that we have to regain the White House as fast as we can. And one thing that President Trump has said that he would do is totally demolish the Department of Education from the ground up to the highest level of college.
That would be fantastic.
What he said he was going to do is turn it back over to the parents first and then the states. Parents would be an integral part of the education system once we get him back in, and we can actually, let's face it, there's no way our education system is an enemy occupied territory.
That's a good description, and I agree with you 100%. It certainly is.
And the only way to fix it is to blow it up.
I could not, and that would be taking a clue from the left, because that's the way they feel. In order to transform something, you have to destroy it. And that is exactly what we need to do. And there is a reason why our founders never mentioned education as part of the Constitution, because it is a right for the parents to be determined by what they want in their own particular state. And nothing is more important right now than getting involved. So in the last few minutes that we have, I'd like, Debbie, can you share with us, what do you think parents can do to get involved?
Well, I started off talking about a friend of mine who happens to be a mom. She is digging into the books that are in the library. She's digging in. She has a son who's brought home assignments that are atrocious, that talk about things, you know, LGBTQ, transgenderism, how you identify. And this is in a human geography course. It's an AP course. So our superintendent of schools has said, oh, it's an AP course, so there's nothing wrong with that. And she also didn't have any problem with the two BLM quotes that were read in the elementary school for their character week, where the primary word was entity. Get out. I have parents coming to me because they know I go to the school board meetings. They know I bring these things up. You know, they're asking, what can we do? Go to the meetings, speak up at the meetings, explain. Don't explain, demand from the school boards that they educate their children. Learn what's in the curriculum. Don't just assume that because you're sending your child to school that your child is safe. You need to make sure that your child is being educated, that they're not being indoctrinated, and that their innocence is not being robbed from them through all of the sexualization that is going on in the schools. We need to also work with the state legislature to get the reproductive health and disease course removed from the schools. That is not the school's responsibility. It's not the state's responsibility. It's the parents' responsibility. And it is biblical. It is in our Bibles that tell us that we are responsible for educating our children. It is not for anyone outside our family. So the parents must get involved.
Absolutely. Bev, now what can we do? So Bev, well, what can we do?
Okay, before I do that, I'm going to share something that goes to Debbie's remarks about parents. As y'all probably remember, our very much loved coach, Bobby Bowden, was our national spokesperson. And he did a PSA for us. And in it, he said that sex should be taught at home. It should be taught daddy to the boys, mama to the girls, and then back it up with the Bible. It could not be said any better than what our beloved Bobby Bowden said. Having said that, what y'all can do to help, and everyone can, is to get involved with what we're doing. Freedom Speaks Coalition is actively working to make our Constitution relevant again. We know it's still as valuable as it always was, but people think that because Tallahassee and because Washington, D.C. passes crazy bills, that it is taking our rights away from us. They forget that our rights come from God above. They do not come from man. And man cannot take them away from us. And the Constitution ratifies the fact that our rights come from God and can never be taken away by man, even if they are on a hierarchical plane like the people in Washington seem to think they are. We have to fight that battle. And that is something that we with Freedom Speaks is very actively involved. I would love to have as many different communities as possible to set up meetings where we can actually come in and break it down and show people just what they can do to start having the benefits or the rights of the Constitution and our founding fathers handed right back to us. Because they can only be taken away if we give them away.
Exactly.
And people are actually believing that they have to give them up. No, we want people to understand you cannot do it. And by solving that issue, we solve the school issue, because the Constitution does not require government involvement in education.
That is the most important thing that we have
Isn't
to work
it?
With.
So
education,
the biggest message.
Yes, to the parents. And I want to thank both of you for joining me today. Folks, no matter how old your child is, I'm going to now give you something, not from the parent's perspective, but from a teacher's perspective. Read with your children. It doesn't matter how old they are. It doesn't make any difference. Ask them to read with you and read constantly, because the most important gift that you can give to your child, other than your love and affection, is the ability to read. Because once you learn to read, you can learn to reason. Frederick Douglass always said that a man who cannot read is forever a slave. Now, why would he say that? Because if you cannot read the document on the printed page, how do you know that the person that's reading it to you is telling you the truth? Think about that. Mm-hmm. Think about that. And while you're thinking about that, think about what you can do to help your child, whether it's reading, which is of utmost importance, and then go to math. You know, I used to take my kids out and we would go to the supermarket of all places, and we would look at the packaging of the food and go through what was there. We also did wonderful things when we had home economics. And I used to also teach the kids how to read a recipe, because that includes math. Take whatever subject your child likes and read with them and do math with them, evolving around that subject. And you will be shocked at how much they can learn and absorb. Because remember that while our kids are learning about race, which is irrelevant, the rest of the world is learning how to reason, how to do math, and how to read. And we are being left in the dust, and we cannot allow that to happen. So on that note, please go and explore the Florida Citizens Alliance website. Go and explore the Freedom Speaks website. Join something. Join with Debbie. Go to your local school board meetings, and don't be afraid. Don't let them intimidate you. That is of utmost importance. Before I say goodbye for the week, there's something very important that I wanted to share with you. So get out your pens and paper, because this one requires you to write it down. Debbie mentioned Charlotte Iserby. Charlotte is a wealth of information. Her two websites are Deliberate Dumbing Down, and you can get her book online right now as a PDF, as a free download. Her book is The Deliberate Dumbing Down. Her other website is called American Deception. She shared that website with her son. That website shows all of the documentation of how we got where we are. Charlotte was hired by Ronald Reagan as one of the people, one of the policy advisors that would be taking down the Department of Education. And when Charlotte was going through all the books and the materials that she was supposed to be getting rid of, she found this file cabinet that had all of this information about how the American schools were being merged into the Soviet schools. So please go and pay attention to Charlotte's books, her website, and you can also see some of her interviews on YouTube. And some of them I have done. So I was very proud of that and very proud to know her. She's a wonderful lady and has done an amazing thing to help us understand where education is. It's very important that you pay attention to what she has given us. And most of all, come back again next week and you will hear Karen Schoen on the Prism of America's Education, brought to you on the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network with my wonderful sponsor, the Florida Citizens Alliance. Thank you, my wonderful guests, Bev Kilmer and Debbie Gonneau. See you again next week. Have a wonderful week. But I'll always stand proud and free. I'm American.